Welcome to this special edition of the The Generation Podcast, where we'll be broadcasting all the sermons and workshops from the 2024 The Generation Youth Summit. I'm Bobby Bosler, and in this second session, it was Thursday morning. We had just come inside from competing in big ball volleyball, and Joe Mueller stood up to the pulpit to preach. He preached out of Psalm 1, talking about a very important concept, the fact that God wants to bless. And as much as God wants to bless, we do have a choice to stay in the place of blessing. Don't walk away. Don't listen to ungodly counsel. Don't embrace ungodly living, but instead embrace your God. Return to Him, because He's where the blessing is. Listen and be blessed.
Good morning, young people. It is great to be here this morning, and I hope you're all awake, and certainly been a great start to the competitions here today. And it was a little chilly this morning, but I got good news for you. We have ordered up some hot weather for TGYS. I mean, it's supposed to get almost to 80 degrees tomorrow. That is unheard of for a youth summit. And so as far as I can remember, you're going to live history, and that way it's going to be a beautiful day and beautiful the rest of this afternoon as well. And so, boy, count your blessings. Sometimes, was it last year? Remember last year if you were here? The rain, the cold, yeah, nothing like that. This is going to be great, going to be awesome. And certainly excited to see so many of you, so many familiar faces, those I've gotten opportunity to know from around the country as we've traveled around, as well as some that I don't know, and just certainly glad that each one of you are here. I want to jump right into the Word of God here this morning, and to make the most of the time that we have together here in this first session. So let's take our Bibles, if you have it with you, and go to Psalm 1, if you would. Psalm 1. As you turn there, I want you to think, have you ever missed out on something? Something really awesome simply because you weren't there. I can remember a time when I was in college, was traveling with a group, an ensemble. We were down in Florida, and we were staying there at a home. And there, the church, the pastor of the church, his family, they had built this mud track for four-wheeling right there near the church. And I don't know how long it was, but it was pretty cool. And so we saw it there, and we talked, hey, sometime maybe we'll do that. Well, as we were going through the course of the time we were staying there, an afternoon came where our team leader came, and he basically said, hey, I've got a lot of stuff I've got to do. Really important stuff. I've got to work on some projects, and so I'm going to be in my room. Don't disturb me. You guys know what you can do, what you can't do, and just please don't do it. Just leave me alone. I don't want to be bothered at all. I've got to get these things done. Got a limited time and got to be able to get it done. So we said, okay, no problem. Well, it wasn't much longer after he had gone and secluded himself in his room when the pastor came to us and said, hey, you guys want to go out and go four-wheeling? And of course, we're all like, yeah, of course, this is going to be awesome. So we load up the four-wheelers, the gators, all this stuff, and we get there ride over. I'm telling you, we had an awesome time. It was amazing. You'd come around this long straightaway and turn hard and fast and right into this massive mud puddle. I mean, it was more water, but it was muddy. It was amazing. That four-wheel would come down, and literally you'd get that nose in there, and the water would come whoosh, like a wave up over the top of us, crashing down. We were a mess. By the time we finished up, I'm telling you, it was the dirtiest I had probably ever been in my life at that point. And we, for some reason, he wouldn't let us ride in the truck on the way back. We had to ride on the back for some reason. And we got back to the house, and as we're cleaning up, because the pastor said, hey, you can't go inside until you deal with that mud. And so we had to, you know, jump in the river with the alligators to clean off. It was great. And we did all those crazy things. And we were just finishing getting cleaned off when our team leader came out of his room. And he saw the muddy four-wheelers on the truck. And he saw us soaking wet. And he said, what's going on? What were you guys doing? And we said, oh, we went four-wheeling on the mud. He's like, you did what? And you didn't tell me? You told us not to bother you. You said you didn't want to be disturbed. And he was he was bummed out because he had missed an awesome experience simply because he wasn't there. He wasn't in the right place to experience that awesome reality. And here in Psalm 1, the Lord lays out for us a reality that God wants to bless you, young person. He wants to bless you, but we can miss out on the blessing that God has for you. You miss out on the blessed life when you leave the place of blessing. I want to look at that truth here this morning. Let's read Psalm 1, if you would. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Let's pray together. Lord, would you now take and open our eyes? Lord, would you break the bread of life to us here this morning? And Lord, I pray that you would speak specifically to the need of the hearts here. Lord, we need you. I need you in this moment. And so we're calling upon you to use your word and by the power of your Spirit to do in us what only you can do. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want you to notice, first of all, here the place of blessing. Did you see that first word? Now, sometimes when we read this, this is a familiar passage, and when you think it in your brain for a long time, I always read it, say it says, "Blessed is the man." And I said, what's the difference between being blessed and blessed? There is no difference. It's just how you pronounce it. Okay, so just so we cleared that up here this morning, it means that the word blessed simply means to be blessed. To be blessed, to be happy, to be satisfied, to be fulfilled. That's what the word means. And I want you to understand this morning, young people, that God wants to bless you. He really does. It's what's in his heart. He wants you to live your life knowing that you're doing exactly what he made you to do. He wants you, this may surprise you today, God wants you to be happy. He wants you to be fulfilled. He wants you to be truly satisfied. He's not out to make you miserable. He loves you. He wants to bless you. He wants what is truly best for you. And I don't know you this morning, but some of you perhaps have bought into the lie that Satan has been trying to dish to you, that if you follow God with your whole heart and you truly surrender your life, like Brother Bosler talked about last night, if you truly surrender your life to God and become that living sacrifice, it's going to be the worst decision you could ever make, because God's going to make you do something that you hate doing. And listen, I understand that from one standpoint, a step of surrender, that call to be a living sacrifice, to say my life is not my own, it's a step into the unknown, and that can be scary. I get that. I certainly understand. But can I tell you, it's scary to us because you're looking at that step without confidence in the one who's calling you to take that step. So it really comes down to this question: what do you actually believe about God, young person? What do you actually believe about his heart towards you? Do you have this silent fear deep down inside that God may make you miserable? Do you have this sinister question that maybe God is more concerned about his agenda being accomplished than he is about me and my life? Satan whispers into our ear all the time that that's true, just like he did to Eve in the Garden of Eden. Isn't that what he said? Listen, does God really? I mean, God's holding out on you. Obeying God in this area, you're missing out. This is the lie he's been whispering from the beginning. But can I tell you, it is not what God has revealed about himself. What God has said is that he wants to bless you. He wants you to be satisfied. He wants you to be fulfilled. And what he's saying here says, listen, there's a life of blessing for you. And he's saying, if you'll follow my way of blessing, you'll have greater joy, greater peace, greater satisfaction than you have ever known. the young person, Satan lies to you again and again and again and again, day after day after day, telling you, listen, going your way is going to bring you happiness. But it's not true. Going God's way is the only way to have true happiness. So I want to ask you here this morning, as we begin this look at this really familiar passage in so many ways, what is your perspective on God and His plan for your life? Are you convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has your best interest in mind, that He is longing to pour out His blessing on your life? Now let me clarify. When I talk about God wants to bless you, blessing may not be what you think it is. It may not look the way that you think it should look. God's not saying that, listen, if you go my way, you're not going to have any difficulties. You're not going to have any pain in your life. You're not going to have to walk through any valleys. No. His blessing doesn't mean that everything in life is going to be easy and you're going to have a nice house and plenty of money and a fancy car. That's maybe what we think of as, oh man, that person's really blessed, but that is not real blessing. That's what the devil wants you to think blessing is, but it is not blessing at all. Real blessing is this: no matter what is going on around me, I can be happy and have true joy and peace and be fully satisfied because God is with me. No matter what circumstances life may throw at me. Some of the people who live a life and they would say they're most blessed are those who've walked through some of the deepest valleys and have experienced there that He is with them. That's blessing. Knowing the presence of God in your life. Listen, young person, I'm just telling you today, God wants to bless you. He wants you to know the reality that He is real and that He's walking with you as you walk with Him. Oh, God wants to bless you. Do you believe it this morning, young person? God actually wants to pour out His blessing in your life. He wants you to live in that place where you can receive His blessing. He wants you to stay in this position where you experience all of who He is being poured out into your life. But what does that look like practically? How do you live there? Well, the psalmist tells us in verse number 2 what this blessing is like. And we're going to get back to verse number 1 in just a moment. But I want you to look briefly at verse number 2. It says here, but His delight, this is the man that is blessed, is the one that his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. My intent this morning is not to necessarily get in and talk in depth about what all of that means to meditate and there's so much there we could talk about this morning, but I simply want you to see this, that you live in the place of blessing when you delight in the word of the blesser. If you want to live in that place of blessing, young person, then you have to become someone who's consumed with this book. That's the simplicity of what he's saying. You have to become someone whose life is wrapped up in these words, the words of life, the source of truth, the bread from heaven, the manna for your soul, the light for your feet, the map for your journey, the water for your thirst, the message for our world. I'm just asking you today, how much do you love this book that you hold in your hands? This word from God Himself that you claim to follow, how much do you actually love the Word of God? I've been challenged lately in my own life as I've just been considering the question, how much of my life really is wrapped up in the Word of God? How much am I really consumed and concerned with that? I'm afraid more often than not, we interact with the Bible because we know that we should. Perhaps you read it each day, but perhaps you don't. You bring it to church. You sit and you listen to the Word of God being preached, but it's all out of duty. You know that's right. That's what you should do, and so you do it. But as you do your duty with the Word of God, you wonder, where's the blessing? Where's the reality of God in this? Now listen, friend, there's always benefit to reading the Word of God. Always. Always benefit to memorizing the Word of God, to sitting under the preaching of the Word of God. The Word of God is always powerful and alive. It's what the Word of God promises to us. It's always the case. But the blessing that's described here in Psalm 1 it does not fall on those who engage the Word of God out of duty. The blessing that is described here in Psalm 1 comes when you move from duty to delight in the Word of God. So I ask you again, how much do you love this book? The blessing is promised to those who allow these words of God to become the meditation of your heart, the thoughts consuming your mind, the delight of your life, because you realize they are not just words on a page. They are revealing to you a real person who wants you to know Him. It's the Word of God Himself. Listen, we all have things that we delight in, don't we? All have things that are important to us, things that consume our focus, that we're willing to make sacrifices for, things that we get excited about. You know, it's that topic that when somebody starts talking about, all of a sudden, you light up. And now, instead of being reserved, you're engaged. Some of you right now are excited about things that are, if you're a baseball fan, right, things that's happening with your team. We all have things we delight in. I don't know what it is for you. It could be a future career, a goal you're trying to achieve. It could be a musical instrument. It could be a video game. It could be a hobby. It could be a relationship. But there's something that excites you, that motivates you, that you delight in. But I wonder how many of us could truthfully say that the Word of God is on our list of delights. I think for many, it's on our list of duty. But we don't delight in it. And this morning, I'm just trying to help you see that the blessing that your soul craves, which is God Himself, friends, that blessing is experienced in direct response to what you do with the Bible. What is your heart towards this word from God? My heart was stirred a couple of nights ago as I read the account of a 16-year-old girl named Geraldine who lives in Liberia, West Africa. And by American standards, she literally has nothing. Her father was killed in a car accident several years ago. Her mother makes about $100 a month. They live in a one-room, not one-bedroom, one-room apartment with no electricity, no running water. They eat one meal a day. But she's a believer. She loves her church, and she loves the Word of God. 16 years old. She was listening to the Christian radio station there in her town, and a challenge was given to memorize Bible verses and then come to the radio station and quote them on air. It was a program, that's what it was, just quoting the Word of God. And so she took that challenge along with many others. People would come and they'd memorize 50 verses, they'd memorize 100 verses and come quote them on the air to be a blessing and encouragement to those with the Word of God. And she decided she was going to take that challenge, and so she took and she wrote out 100 Bible verses with their references, and she began to read them over and over and over again. And 1 month later, Geraldine, she went and she was able to go to that radio station, and she recited all 100 verses on the radio without stopping, by memory. But that wasn't the end for her, because the next month she did the same thing, another 100 verses. And then the next month, and the next month, again and again and again, until by the end of that year passing, she had quoted on the radio over 1,000 verses. They were committed to her memory and in her heart. And it wasn't because of some Bible quizzing competition. It wasn't because she was going to get some trophy or some applause for it. When asked, why would you do this? Why month after month would you put all this effort into memorize? Her answer was this, in her own words, because I love God. 16 years old. She has nothing. But she made the choice to say, listen, I'm going to move from duty to delight in the Word of God. I'm asking you again this morning, what is your heart towards the Word of God today? Well, listen, young people, God wants to bless you. Oh, His heart is so full towards you of all He wants to pour out into your life. And He does that as you learn to delight in His Word and you experience that daily, personal reality of relationship with Him. And you might say, well, listen, Brother Mueller, I know that. But perhaps you're saying this morning, yeah, but that's not me. I'm not experiencing that kind of blessing in my life. That satisfied thing? Yeah, no. That fulfilled joy, peace? No. Which leads us to our second point. Because though we often know that truth, at least mentally, that God wants to bless us, whether we actually believe it or not is the other question. But that place of blessing where God wants us to be, boy, is there. There's a blessing for this man that delights in the law of the Lord. But verse 1 tells us very clearly that you can leave the place of blessing. You can walk away from the place of blessing. Now, in my home sometimes, I have 8 children, and we'll be sitting around the dinner table, and if I know perhaps that my, you know, that we have some sort of dessert prepared, we'll eat the meal, and I'll tell the kids at the end of the meal, say, now listen, we have ice cream for dessert, but if you want ice cream, you got to stay at the table. Now, do I say that because I am a mean ogre of a father, and I don't want my children to have the blessing of ice cream? Is that why I say that? Do I say that because my children have to earn that ice cream, that blessing from me? Is that why I say it? No, not at all. I say that because I want them to experience the blessing. But if they're going to, they've got to be in the position to receive it. They've got to be in the place to receive it because we don't serve ice cream in the bedrooms. They've got to be in the place where they can experience that blessing. And so I lay that out clearly for them because I want them to have that blessing. And young people, that's what God is doing for us. He's saying, listen, I want to bless you, but you've got to be in the place of blessing in order to receive it. But so often, we leave that place of blessing. And here in verse 1, we have laid out a downward progression of a person who is walking away from that place of blessing. And it's a tragic thing, but unfortunately it's all too familiar. I've seen so many young people, friends of mine, who maybe have had a heart for God. They wanted God's blessing in their life, but they've walked away. And young person, I don't want that for you today. God doesn't want that for you. He's pleading with you today. Listen, don't walk away from the place of blessing. I want to illustrate this for us here this morning in a way that I hope will be at least somewhat helpful for us. So I need a volunteer here. Anybody a volunteer? Yes, sir. Come right on up here from the back. Marines here. All right. What's your name, sir?
David.
David. All right. Thank you, David, for being a volunteer. Wonderful. David is going to illustrate for us the place of blessing. Can you hold that?
Sure.
Now, I'm glad it was David. He is the epitome of blessing, isn't he? I mean, just looking right here. Everything about David. That's perfect. So he's got just the right person. I couldn't have had a better volunteer. All right. So David is illustrating for us the place of blessing. This is where God wants you to live. He wants you to stay here. This is that place where you're delighting in the Word of God, where you're seeking to know Him. It's where God is able to pour out all He desires for you in your life. This is where God wants you to be, young person, the place of blessing. But what does the text say? It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Here we see the first step that we can take away from the place of blessing. You leave the place of blessing when you start listening to ungodly counsel. I need another volunteer. Another volunteer. All right. Yes, sir. Come right up here. All right. Listening to ungodly counsel. You're gonna hold it. I want you to stand right here next to David. All right. What's your name?
Seth. I'm Seth.
Seth. All right. All right. So Seth is going to illustrate for us this first step away where we are listening to ungodly counsel. Now you notice that's what the text says. Okay? So here now, listen, young person, do you realize there's a lot of voices out there competing for your attention? There's a lot of platforms, a lot of ways that people are seeking to influence you. And the scripture is clear, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. And there's a whole lot of ways where those fools can get access into your life. We can hear this ungodly advice. That's what the word counsel means. It means advice. We start listening to ungodly advice. It can happen through friends, absolutely. Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, movies you watch, news, talk radio, magazines, novels, video, fill in the blank. They're all seeking to pump you with advice. Sometimes it's subtly, sometimes it's directly. But when we start entertaining these questions, what they're saying, we start listening to ungodly advice, it's drawing us away from the place of blessing. It's the first step, because now we're actually giving it an ear to that in our life. And what's happening is that Satan uses these things, these questions, this ungodly advice, it begins to affect your view of God. Now there begins to just be those subtle questions, those subtle thoughts. Now you start to question God and his word. Is God really good? Does he really do what he says he'll do? Can you actually trust him? Is the Bible actually reliable? Where do those questions come from? Ungodly counsel. And we start listening and allowing that to have some influence in our life, and perhaps without even realizing it, we're being drawn away from this place where God wants us to be. We're delighting the Lord, but now we're actually starting to entertain some of these questions because we're giving it time. Can I ask you today, what voices are you listening to? Who are you allowing to shape your perspective in life? Okay, who are the friends? What are the TV programs? What are the podcasts, the YouTube channels that you're following? What are you listening to on the radio? What blogs, what social media people are you following? What books are you reading? What video games? These things are all seeking to give you advice. Are you listening to that advice? Maybe think about it this way. Do these other voices, do they have more screen time, so to speak, in your life than the Word of God? Are you giving the Bible or these godless voices more opportunity to shape your thinking and affect your heart? Listen, don't be surprised when you get drawn away from the place of blessing, when you're filling your life with ungodly counsel. You might say, well, listen, I think I can handle it. I mean, I've been saved for a while. I know a lot about the Bible. I can handle, you know, a little bit more of these things. Listen, the voices that you listen to today affect the direction of your life tomorrow. So this is the first step away. Listen, God doesn't want you to be here. God wants you to be here. He wants you to be in this place of blessing because that's where you can experience all of what he has for you. That relationship, that freedom, that joy of him. But we are so quickly drawn to this point of just entertaining a little bit of this ungodly counsel, and it draws us away. But the text doesn't end there. That's the first step away from the place of blessing. But the verse goes on, it says, the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Now here it says, now you're not just listening, you're not just, you know, walking and allow, you're walking along and allowing them to, you know, kind of whisper in your ear. But no, you've actually taken a step aside into the way of sinners. You've changed roads. You're on a different path. You see, you're not just listening to ungodly counsel anymore. Now you've stepped to the place where you're now embracing ungodly living. You'll embrace ungodly living. I need another volunteer. All right, yes, sir, right here. What's your name, sir?
Everett.
Everett. All right, awesome. You're going to stand here. All right, so we've got, say it with me, we have...
Listening to ungodly counsel.
And... embracing ungodly living. This is the next step as we take this step. Just stand right there. There you go. Good. We take this step away from the place of blessing. God wants you here. We start to listen to ungodly counsel. Listen, you don't have to listen to ungodly counsel for long before it actually starts affecting the way that you live. Because it's affecting the way that you think. And so before we know it, now you're not just questioning God. You're not just wondering, oh, okay, is God's word true? Now, you're not just questioning God. Now you're just flat out disobeying God. There's things that you know that God said, no, you shouldn't do that. That shouldn't be a part of your life. And you say, well, it doesn't matter. I know this isn't, but I want to do it anyway. You've allowed your thinking to be so affected by this ungodly advice that now you say, this is how I want to live. And so now, instead of the word of God calling the shots in your life, you're letting other people call the shots in your life. You're taking steps that are directly in violation to things that he's laid out in his word. So now listen, it's no longer God that's directing you, hey, listen, what clothes you should wear, what music you should listen to, what hairstyle you should have. What attitude you should have towards authority, how you should interact with someone of the opposite gender. None of those things. It's no longer God directing that. Now you're making those decisions based on what ungodly people are saying. What people who aren't walking with Jesus, it's totally opposed to what the Word of God says. And now I understand some of you here today, and you come from a home where maybe you're not allowed to actually make some of those, to live some of that way. So externally, you don't look like you've gotten to this point, but internally, you are there. Internally, you said, this is, as soon as I have the chance, this is how I'm going to live. You've embraced ungodly living. Internally, at least, if not externally, you've been drawn away from this place of blessing as you listen to God, and now you've just full-on embraced ungodly living. And I ask you, have the voices you've been listening to started to affect your lifestyle choices? What are you patterning your life after? As much as we all like to think that we're independent and free thinkers, we are all patterning our life after something. Is it the Word of God? That's life in the place of blessing. Or are you patterning your life after people who hate Jesus and want nothing to do with Him? Standing in the way of sinners. Now, there's one more step that was laid out here. In the text, with the place of blessing, this is where God wants you to be. It's where God pours out His blessing. You experience the reality of Him in your life as you delight in the Word of God. But as we begin to listen to ungodly counsel, we're drawn away from that place of blessing. And before we know it, we're now standing in the way. We're embracing that ungodly living. But look what happens next. It says, "Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Okay, so I need one more volunteer. Yes, sir. Right there. You see, you leave the place of blessing when you start resisting spiritual truth. Now, this is no indictment on his personal character that he has to hold this sign. Okay? We're just making that clear. But this is the place where now we're not just embracing ungodly living, but now we've gotten to a place where we're resistant to spiritual truth. Notice what it says here. It says, "Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Now that word "sitteth" there is, and the word "seat," they carry a deeper idea than like you guys just came and sat down in the seat, okay? But you guys aren't, you're going to get up and leave real soon. We got another competition, you're taking off. That's not the picture of this word. The word here is the idea that you've sat down and you are settled in. It's someone who dwells, who lives there. So you it's someone who's said, I'm going to dwell, I'm going to settle down in the dwelling place of the scornful. Now let me ask you, who sits in the seat of the scornful? This is a very complicated question. Who does? Oh, scornful people, right? Scorners. Now, a scorner is someone who mocks, who laughs at truth, who resists spiritual truth. And so if you're sitting in the seat of the scornful, if you're living in the dwelling place of the scornful, what does that mean you are? Yeah. You're not in somewhere where you're out of place. You found your place. And so there, you've come to this place where now you're not just questioning God. Now you're not just disobeying God, but you are saying, you're fighting against Him. You're saying, I'm on the other side. I'm not for this Christianity stuff. I'm not for this Bible truth stuff. I'm not for this standing on the words. No, I'm not for that kind of life. It's the picture of someone who has dug in their heels and said, I'm not moving. Can I ask you today, is there an area of your life where you have dug in your heels and you said, no, not there? Maybe you'll respond to other things, but when the preacher touches on that point, or when the Bible says something that touches that point, or someone in conversation challenges you, you dig in and you'll say, nope, that place, that's off limits. Not moving there. Living sacrifice, yeah, I'll be a living sacrifice, but not here. Off limits. No, God. Mm-mm. You try to take that, God, we've got a fight on our hands. That's the picture here. What is your attitude towards spiritual things? Are there areas of your life you said, I'm not moving? I'm staying right here. Now, young people, we think, man, I'm never going to get to that place. No, no way. I've known a lot of people who said that. And if we tolerate this and this, if we get okay with just one step away, with saying, this, I know I don't have God's blessing on my life necessarily, but I'm not like in a bad spot. We start listening to ungodly advice. We start maybe disobeying Him in some areas of our life. Watch out. You may end up here sooner than you think you will. And I'm not saying that today to try to scare you. That's not the point. Just trying to help you understand that this is where it goes. And this is where God wants you to be. God wants you to live here. Don't live there. This is to be your dwelling place. Not this. But that means we've got to recognize, whoa, I've been drawn away. I've been drawn away from the place of blessing. Well, this is where God wants me, but I started to listen to that, and I'm like, no, I'm disobedient to God's mercy. Or even there's an area here where I'm just saying no to God, no way. So can I ask you here this morning, where are you at on this progression? Where are you at? I'll let you guys sit down. I've been standing a long time. Thank you. Thanks, guys. You can sit down. Where are you? Let me challenge you. Take there in your notebook. Take a pen and write a line. And put one on one end. Put four on the other end. Right? One is the place of blessing. Four, resisting spiritual truth. Put a two and a three in the middle. And put an X. Where are you? Are you listening to ungodly advice? Have you begun embracing ungodly living? Are you resistant to spiritual truth, at least in some area of your life? Have you been drawn away from the place of blessing? Now listen, young person, I recognize answering that question honestly can be sobering. But there's good news. Wherever you are on that progression, you don't have to stay there. By the grace of God, you can get right back to that place of blessing. God is a God who is rich in mercy and abundantly pardons. You can get back to that place of delighting in the Word of God, but it starts with getting honest about the fact that you've left the place of blessing. You need to deal with those things that have drawn you away from the place of blessing, from that place of delighting in the Word of God, from the heart of Jesus Himself towards you. Well, listen, friends, you miss out on the blessed life when you leave the place of blessing, when you walk away from that life of delighting in the Word of God. So the invitation this morning is simply that of recognizing, coming to grips, being honest, where am I at? Where am I at? And as God is revealing that to you, would you respond to God? If you've stepped away, you can go to God and you can get back. But it starts with being honest. Have you walked away from the place of blessing? I plead with you, friend. God wants to bless you. He has so much He wants to pour out in your life. So much of Himself He wants you to know. But when we walk away, we're walking away from the greatest opportunity ever laid before us. Don't walk away from the place of blessing. Let's bow our heads to pray.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from the 2024 The Generation Youth Summit. If you were blessed by this sermon, don't forget to make plans to join hundreds of other young people next October 8th to 10th for our next meeting in Menomonee Falls, Wisconsin. For more information, please visit thegeneration.org/TGYS. And until next time, thanks for listening.